Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
October 18th, 2005. The Digital Story Show. How to make movies for the new Apple iPod. Video. So, pretty exciting week this week. Those of you that follow technology know that Apple made some major announcements earlier at the California Theater in San Jose. Very exciting stuff indeed. A brand new iMac, a brand new version of iTunes, and a brand new iPod. Now, this just isn't any old iPod. They've made some major changes, most notably being that you can now play video on the iPod. They've made the screen bigger. The resolution is 320 by 240, and it really looks good. There's a coating on the screen, so you can even watch video outside in daylight and still be able to see what's going on. And, of course, it has all the easy controls that iPods always have. And best of all, really, the so-called chain of pain, which is taking the content, creating the content, and then actually getting the content onto the device itself, is really, really not very painful. And what I'm going to do today is just talk a little bit about how you can create movies with tools you already have, most likely, and then play them on your iPod video and share them with other people. And it's really quite easy. Now, as you get your tools together for this, here's what I recommend. First, you'll need a digital camera that can record movies, which is just about any digital camera these days. Almost every camera has a movie mode, and you can do at least 320 by 240 with those, which is all you need for this project. You don't even need 640 by 480 because that's more resolution than the iPod can support. So if your camera only does 320 by 240, no problem. You're in great shape. The other thing you need to do is upgrade your current version of QuickTime to 7.0.3. That's the latest version. And that version has an export preset strictly for the iPod, which means that this whole notion of preparing the video that you've shot so that it plays on the iPod is really as easy as accessing a drop-down menu and then saving it. Now, I will say this. There are two versions of QuickTime. There's the free version that you get, both Windows and Mac, that just come with every Mac or Windows people download it, and you can play movies and do all sorts of stuff. Then there's the Pro version, and the Pro version is what you need for this project, and in all honesty, not only for this show, but for other things that we're going to be doing on the Digital Story, you need the Pro version because it has editing tools, you can trim, you can splice things together, you can do voiceover. You can do all sorts of stuff with the Pro version that you just can't do with the freebie. Now, the Pro version is $30, and you buy it from Apple.com. You just buy it in the store there. And as soon as you give them your credit card number, they actually give you a registration number. And right away, it unlocks the Pro version that you already have. And it's kind of funny the way that works. I won't go into too much detail right now, but actually, everyone who has QuickTime has the Pro version. What Apple does is they just lock those features away until you enter the registration key, and then it automatically appears, and you have all these goodies. So you need QuickTime Pro version 7.0.3. Cost you $30 if you don't have it already. And if you already do have the Pro version of QuickTime 7, then all you have to do is update to this latest version, and that doesn't cost anything extra. And that is it. Obviously, I guess there's one other little thing, which is an iPod that can play video. And those will start shipping next week, but you can order it now on the Apple Store. And you can get the 30 gigabyte model for $299. And that, in the world of iPods, is a pretty good deal. And that should give you plenty of space to kind of get your feet wet with this. If you do want more storage, you can get the 60 gigabyte model, I believe, for $399, which is, you know, it's an extra $100, but it's also an extra 30 gigs. So that's sort of up to you. But you can get into this for $299. Okay, so you got your tools. You got your video iPod on order. And while you're waiting for it to come, you want to create some content. Now, before I actually get into making your own movies, I should say that Apple in the iTunes Music Store is already providing lots of good stuff for you to play on your new iPod. You've heard that you can download, I believe, 5 television shows right now through Disney and ABC. The two most notable being Lost and Desperate Housewives. And you can grab those the day right after they've aired, and they're $1.99 each. Plus, they have the whole catalog of all the other stuff, too. And you can also grab music videos, and music videos that you already have, especially buying some of the newer albums that have gone on in the iTunes Music Store lately, include videos, so you have those already. And then I believe they have 6 Pixar short films that you can grab, and those are also $1.99 each. And if you haven't watched these, the one that's really, you know, I think it's just an amazing short film, For the Birds, you've got to get that one if you do nothing else, and have that on your iPod. So you can buy content, and that's great. But you can also create your own content and put it on the iPod. And this is what we're going to do right now. So first thing you do is, let's start in good lighting. And the thing about shooting video with a digital camera instead of a camcorder is that you don't have all of the accessories that come with a digital camcorder, including extra lights and all this sort of stuff. So with a digital camera in movie mode, you want to shoot in decent light, outdoors, open shade, stuff like that. Let's start with good light, because that makes everything else a little bit easier. As you become more proficient with the workflow, then you can get more creative with the lighting. But for now, start in open shade or outdoors. And put your digital camera in movie mode. Make sure that you have a nice big memory card, because, obviously when you're shooting 30 frames per second, you're going to use up a lot more memory than, shooting the occasional snapshot. So put it in movie mode. Make sure you have a nice big memory card. I recommend 1 gigabyte for starters. And then if you have any way to adjust the movie mode settings, go to the menu, go for the highest frame rate you can get. If you can get 30 frames per second, go for it. If you can only get 15 frames per second, don't worry too much about it. Set it for there, and set it for high quality also, so you get the most resolution possible. Now, if your camera does shoot 640 by 480 at 30 frames per second, that's great. And even though the iPod can only show 320 by 240, go ahead and capture it at 640 by 480. And the reason being that will be your master print. That will be the video that you have that you can use for anything, not just the iPod. 640 by 480 pretty much plays full resolution on a TV screen, and it looks really good on your computer too. So if you can capture 640 by 480, go for it. And when you export, QuickTime 7 will automatically sample it down for you. You don't have to worry about it. And remember, when it does that, it's just making a copy. When you export, it's making another copy of your master. So after you've shot your master and have exported it, and you have the working copy for your iPod or for whatever else you use it, put your first video, the 640 by 480 or whatever it happens to be, in a safe place, because you can always go back and export again at different settings. You know, so that's your negative, that's your master print from which you can do anything you want from there. Now, in terms of the actual shooting of your great American or European or Japanese or Asian classic short movie, did I leave anyone out there? I hope a Canadian. Oh my gosh. Can't leave the Canadians out. There are great neighbors to the north here. At any rate, wherever you're from, it's a classic from there, okay? So there's a couple things to keep in mind, because you're going to be watching this movie on a relatively small screen, 320 by 240. So forget about a lot of distant shots and things like that. You want to shoot tight, okay? So you want to get that camera, and you want to have the people or the pets or whatever you're shooting fill most of the frame, okay? Don't stand too far back, because remember, you're going to be watching this thing on a little screen. So that's the first thing. As you compose your movie, be sure to stay close and fill the frame. Now, another thing is the audio itself. Most likely, you're going to be recording the audio with the microphone that's on the camera. And these things aren't great, okay? So they tend to pick up noise from everywhere. And in future podcasts here, we're really going to talk about how to get good audio. It's a quest of mine. It's not something that comes to me naturally. I'm a photographer by nature. So I've really had to learn about audio, and I'm still learning about audio all the time. And along through my pain and struggling, you too can learn about audio also. But what I'll tell you right now is the sensitivity of these microphones by design are to pick up everything, okay? So if you have dialogue, if you have people talking in your movie, try to do it somewhere where it isn't really noisy, okay? Unless you want the hustle bustle of the street sounds dominating your audio track, stay off, you know, the streets in Manhattan and try to find somewhere else to shoot this. And remember, for some reason, the background noise always seems louder than the actual dialogue with these types of microphones. So even if it doesn't seem that loud to you right now or while you're there, just know that when you watch your movie later, that background noise is going to seem a lot louder than when you were there originally. Okay, so try to find a place that's relatively quiet. And then the other thing, before you start shooting, ask your subjects, make sure they speak up, enunciate, project. You know, all that stuff that we were taught in high school theater class, make sure you do that, or have your actors do it. Your talent, as we say sometimes. I'm not in the business, but I picked that up somewhere. Anyway, make sure you have your talent, you know, really project. So that way, their voice rises above all the other noise in the background. Now, if you really want to get serious about movie making, then you really have to get away from the digital camera, or at least for this type of movie making, I should say. You really have to get away from the digital camera and start using a camcorder or something that allows you to use an external microphone so that you can properly mic your subjects. But we're not going to be doing that today. We're going to work with the microphone that's on your camera. Okay, so you're shooting relatively tight. You've got the audio somewhat under control. Now, the other thing is you have to have some idea of what you're going to shoot before you actually do it. Unless you're just incredibly lucky and happen to be somewhere where really interesting things are happening, you might want to think a little bit about, how do I want this little movie to unfold? Now, remember, you only have about 5 minutes of actual recording time, all right? Anything much longer than that, you're going to lose your audience. Okay, let's be honest with ourselves here. None of us at least I'm not, I can't speak for you, really kind of Francis Ford Coppola types here, all right? We're just, you know, guys and gals with cameras. So we can't hold people for 2 hours on an iPod. But if we do a little bit of planning and do our work, we can make something between 3 and 5 minutes. Now, I know that doesn't sound like it's very long, 3 to 5 minutes. But, you know, it can be very long if it's not good. But it can be just right if it is good. And that's something to keep in mind that, you know, you start with these shorts. And remember earlier I mentioned For the Birds, that Pixar movie. I think it was actually produced by Lasseter, who's, you know, a great filmmaker. That movie is, in a lot of ways, close to perfect. And just in terms of plot and execution, the whole deal. It's animation, but, you know, it's a very, very tight piece of work. And it's only a couple minutes long. Only a couple minutes long. Wildly popular. And I do believe that it won an Academy Award as a short, although I haven't checked that. But I'm pretty sure it did. So there's nothing wrong with making a movie that's only 3 to 5 minutes long. Nothing wrong with it at all. In fact, your friends will thank you. Okay, so you've sort of thought about what you're going to do. You have your location. You have your subjects. You're ready to go. And you record your movie. Okay, and you have it. Now, at this point, we're really not going to talk a lot about editing, although I'd like to get into that in another show. I think right now we're just really going to work with, you know, recording and then getting it onto the iPod itself. So once you capture your movie, go ahead and load it to your computer, your Mac or PC. Number of ways you can do it. The easiest way, I think, really, is to use a card reader, pull the memory card out of the camera, put it in the card reader, connect the card reader to your computer, and then you'll see the file there on the card. And you can just drag it right onto your desktop there. Now, when you double-click it, unless you have some obscure format, and I'll point to a couple articles that I've written that do deal with the obscure format, so even if you have that, you'll know what to do. But if you double-click it, it should open QuickTime, and your movie will be there. All you have to do now is, excuse me, you might want to do a little trimming, which is where you just move the end pointers of the movie to cut off the kind of the non-essential stuff that happened at the beginning or at the end, or where people are saying, come on, start the camera. You know, you want to cut all that stuff out. So you might trim it to size. That's very easy to do. And in the show notes, I'll make sure I put a link to that. And then go to export in QuickTime, and in the drop-down menu at the bottom, choose export to the iPod, and click OK. And what QuickTime will do is that it will prepare your movie for it will optimize it actually for playback on the iPod, and save another copy of it, and you can just have it save it right there to your desktop. And now you have two movies. You have the original one that you shot that you're going to keep in a safe place. And then you're also going to have the new one that you exported for the iPod video. And you take that movie and you open iTunes 6. You have to get the latest version of iTunes. If you have iTunes 5, all you have to do is go to the Apple site and get the latest version, 6. And you drag that movie to a new folder that you have on your inside iTunes called Videos. And drag it in there. And so iTunes will copy that movie in there. And you're all set to go. Now all you have to do is plug in your iPod. It will see that you have a new movie in your Videos folder. And it will copy it onto the iPod. And you can play it just like you can a song or anything else. And the workflow is really that simple. So just to recap here, and before I do, I want to mention that the show notes on thedigitalstory.com, and it's literally the, T-H-E, digital story, all one word, .com, www. Just click on show notes, and you'll, and I'll write up this whole process for you, some screenshots, and some links to other information also. So, you know, if you're driving, as I always say, if you're driving, don't worry about copying all this down now. It's all there waiting for you on the Digital Story site. Anyway, but just to recap, so you can have it in your mental process here, use your digital camera in movie mode. Go at least 320 by 240, but you can go 640 by 40 if you want. High quality and 30 frames per second if you can get it. If you can't, don't worry about it. 15 frames per second will be fine. Shoot in good light. Compose tightly, right? Not a lot of distance shots. Get the best audio that you can get. And keep your length to 5 minutes or less. Once you do that, upload it to your computer. Trim off any excess on the edges that aren't necessary. And then put it in the video folder in iTunes, and connect your new iPod, your iPod video, and iTunes will copy it to the iPod, and then you can carry this around and you can share it with other folks. Now, not only can you watch the movies on the iPod video itself, but if you get the accessory cables, then you can actually plug one end of the cables into the iPod and plug the other three ends, right, because it's two for audio and one for video, into your television set, and play the video also on a TV. So what's interesting, the iPod video actually becomes a portable, you know, playback and storage device for video and audio. And you start thinking about all the stuff you can do. You can, you know, download and buy content. You can create it yourself. And then there's all the stuff we haven't even thought about yet that we'll be reading about and I'll be talking about here in the near future as folks come up with different uses for this device. So it's really an exciting time, but I think it's really a great time for you to play with making your own movies and then sharing them with others on this device and just having a lot of fun. So I hope you give it a try, and make sure you go to thedigitalstory.com and read all about it, and I'll see you next week. Thanks for joining me. Bye-bye.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.